thank the Lord this morning for His love and for the joy that we have in the Lord this morning. For the, if you don't feel like you have a fullness of joy, there's a potential of joy that is waiting for each one of us. And I appreciate the blessings of the Lord in the service this morning. I'd like us to turn back over, and we'll continue with the series that we have begun. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. And just as a brief reminder, we started off talking and had a message on the call, that God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us, and He has called us individually and personally to follow Him. Second message was on responding to the call. When the Lord calls our name, we have a choice to make whether we're going to submit and follow Him, or we're going to do it in our own time, in our own way. And then last Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon, was on followers after Christ. And there the message was from the Lord that we are to be followers of Christ. We're not following people. We're not following the ministry. Our purpose is not to follow a group, but it is to follow Jesus Christ. And that will put us in the fellowship that we need to be in when we follow Christ. And so this morning, the burden that I've had on my heart is fellowshipping the sufferings of Christ. And on this part of the burden, we probably will not finish this morning. But He said, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. The Lord has called us this morning to follow Him in every area of life. And again, we're going to get to that place where we practically say, Lord willing, that we will practically say in all of our choices and decisions, Lord, what would You have me to do? What does it mean to really be a follower of Christ in just our daily living, not just when we come to church, not just when we come to service, but in how I respond when I'm tested, how I respond when I'm aggravated, how I conduct myself on the job, how I conduct myself as a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, just in my daily life, what it means to follow Jesus. Well, part of following the Lord has to do with suffering. And so we have to go back and say, how did Jesus live? Because He has called us to follow His example. He's called us to follow His steps. Now, I listened to the message that Brother Tony preached here when I was sick on suffering. And so my intent is not to cover the same things, but that this could supplement and complement what Brother Tony already brought out on the subject of suffering. But if you will turn with me over to Isaiah in the 53rd chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 3. This is speaking about Jesus. Now, if we are to follow Christ's example, there are many people that just want the joy and they just want the benefits of serving Jesus. But I want us to understand, when something is worth something, when there's value to it, it generally costs something, isn't it? And that means if we want to experience the victories that are found in Christ, if we want to experience the joy that we sang about, it's going to come at a cost to our flesh. Now, if you were to come this morning, we've sung about the joy, and you think, now you're going to get up and preach about suffering. It seems like we ought to hear a message about something to encourage us. But I want us to understand this morning that the avenue to greater victory in our life, the avenue to greater joy, is going to be found through fellowshipping or embracing the sufferings that come through being a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, it says, speaking of Him in Isaiah 53 and 3, it says, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him, and He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now does that sound like a victorious Lord? He was despised of men. It said he was a man of sorrow. He was acquainted with grief. Is this the man? Is this the Lord that we want to follow this morning? You see, we want to see the picture of Christ coming in on the back of the colt where everybody's shouting, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. And we say, that's our King. That's the man of victory that we want to follow. We want to focus on, as we did last Sunday morning, on the resurrected Lord. But I want us to know this morning that if we want to experience that continual victory in our life on a daily basis, it's going to come at a cost. And if we are not willing to pay the price to truly be a follower of Christ, and we will not embrace the sufferings of Christ, we will never experience that real deep-seated joy that we've been singing about this morning. I will testify to you that some of the greatest experiences that I've had in my life, when I felt the glory of God or His presence in the richest place, it was through suffering. It was through trial. It was through persecution. It was through the difficulties of life. And there I found the presence of God. So this morning, rather than we shy away from suffering, don't we? I mean, how many of us say, oh, I want to suffer. That's what I want. Oh, Lord, help me to suffer. I remember hearing a man, Brother Ossus, used to tell about a man that he would just cry and moan in his prayers, saying, Lord, just drive the nails through my hands. Just drive the nails. Just crucify me, crucify me. And that was the focus of his life, of his prayers. And finally, I believe it was Brother Ossus or someone told him, said, the Lord was already crucified for you. You don't need to pray that the Lord would drive the nails. Folks, there's enough suffering that's going to come through following Jesus. We don't need to go and pray and say, Lord, just bring it on. But I will say there's a heart this morning that we also can sing as this poet did when he said, welcome the storms. My hope is abounding because when the difficulties of life come, rather than running from them, there's another song. You may need to help me with the words. It says, don't remove me from the battle, but just up closer to the cross or closer to the cross or to the Lord. That, see, if we can learn to fellowship or embrace the sufferings that come from serving the Lord, we will find peace quicker in the battle than if we spend all our time saying, Lord, just get me out of the problem. Remove me from the suffering. Folks, there is in the religious world today, and I'm going to say it's creeping right among some of people professing to be saints, this message of health, wealth, and if you serve the Lord, the wealth is yours. If you're a Christian, ours is the time to get the promotion. And we can have a little pep rally that if we're Christians, all's going to go good and the Lord's going to bless you with pay increase and promotions and you're going to be well in body all the time. I will say that is a deception of the enemy. If we are going to follow Christ, he said, for hereunto were ye called, because Christ suffered, leaving us an example. Leaving us an example of how to go through suffering. Leaving us an example how to embrace the cross. He said he was despised. Jesus was tempted by Satan. Do you realize that as part of the sufferings that we're going to go through when we serve the Lord? There are going to be temptations. And I don't know about you, but I can say there have been times, I'll tell you, the devil's just mean. The devil knows the good timing to come. It's bad for us. It's good for him. He knows when we're at a weak moment and Satan comes in and tempts and tries to draw us away from the place we know God wants us to be. Jesus was tempted as well. He was a man. He was flesh and blood, and he understood what it meant to be tempted. Folks, when we are in suffering this morning, let's be faithful to follow the Lord. Let's be faithful and realize that when I'm being tempted, that is part of the suffering that we're going to go through. And let's not yield or submit to the enemy, but let's follow the example of Christ. And we'll get there later, but it said He did no sin. In other words, in His time of temptation, He resisted. He resisted it. Jesus gave up. This, what did He say? Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. He gave up some of the conveniences of life. Now, I'm not telling you to go sell your house this morning. But our priorities should be that, Lord, whatever You want me to do, I'm willing to do it. I'm going to, when it hurts, do you know there's going to be some suffering when you give your all to the Lord to follow Him, to work for the Lord? I'm not talking about the preachers now. We're talking about all of us. There's going to be sacrifice involved in following Jesus Christ. And rather than saying, oh, well, poor me. Has anybody ever been tempted that way? I have. You know, you start feeling sorry for yourself a little bit. Well, I could have done it, or it could have been. But do you realize how much more victory and joy there is when we can say, Lord, I want to embrace or fellowship following Your example? That's a call that He's calling us to this morning, to embrace. He left His home and His family and the conveniences of life to minister to other people. So then when the Lord calls you to do something for Him and it's not real convenient, you know what I'm talking about? You know the Lord has a little job for you to do, but it's just not convenient. Or you have to dig a little bit deeper. Or you have to sacrifice going and doing something you'd really enjoy doing to do what the Lord called you to do. Do you realize that we're going to be much further down the road if we can say, Lord, I'm in a fellowship. The suffering of Christ, and I want to follow Your example. That's what You called me to. Jesus was rejected by His family. Folks, we want to talk practically this morning. See, I want us to get beyond theology in all of this, okay? Practically speaking, Jesus was rejected by some of His family because of His faith, because He wanted to maintain His integrity with God. In our lives, there are going to be times that we're going to suffer because our family rejects us, trying to tell us, you don't have to live that way. You can go, it's okay for you to go here. You don't have to deny yourself. Those things don't matter. And when you take a stand in humility and in love, is what I'm talking about, not in your face, but when we humble our heart to the Lord and we make a stand that I'm going to live like Christ wants me to live, there are going to be times that our family is going to resist it. And you're going to find opposition. The Lord is calling us to fellowship His suffering there. Jesus was ridiculed. Have you ever actually been ridiculed for what you believe? Had someone make fun of you? It's not very pleasant to be ridiculed. He was ridiculed and He was questioned. You know, all through the Gospels you can read when Jesus was questioned by the spiritual leaders, and it wasn't because they were really wanting answers, but they were trying to put Him on the spot. Do you realize that that's some of what also, even today, that we're going to suffer for our stand and our faith in Christ? Questioned by the spiritual leaders, He was not accepted by those that were leaders of His time. Jesus was scorned by His own people. He was denied by His friends, spit upon. Have you ever been spit upon? You know, I remember a few times I've been cussed out for my faith in God. But you know what was harder than that? I mean, I've had someone more than once. People just blow it, and it was because they felt condemned in their spirits. But just totally lose it. The power of Satan was in their life, and they just filth flowed out of their mouth. And it's not pleasant, but you know what hurts worse? Are when people that ought, you would say in our fleshly sense, they ought to do better. They ought to know better. people that profess to be saints of God resist and oppose because of truth that is being preached. I heard recently, and the Lord's been talking to me, and it helped me realize even better. Actually, Brother Cook was the one that said it the other day. That's where it came from. I couldn't remember. Sometimes the opposition that you will face in serving the Lord, when people oppose you, there's really something else behind it. And I've been thinking, meditating upon that, and I have realized in some things where there has been opposition, there people are struggling and dealing with God in their own life. And rather than dealing with God for itself, I'd rather just oppose you for how you live. Want us to understand this morning that rather than struggling in getting under feelings of guilt and condemnation because people don't accept us, there's a place like Christ did to commit those things to the Lord and fellowship His suffering and say, Lord, help me to stay humble. Help me to have a heart full of love, but help me not to compromise my integrity and my faith in God to try to appease family members and those around me. It would be easier sometimes, you know, just to kind of go along with the crowd than it would be to make waves. You know what I'm practically speaking? Sometimes it'd be easier just to kind of, well, I normally wouldn't do that, but I don't want to make waves, and I'll just kind of go along and do it. And do you realize we begin breaking down spiritual barriers in our life when we start doing that? And the next time it's going to be a little bit easier. And the next time it's not going to be because someone's trying to get me to do it. I want to do it now because I broke down resistance in my life. I want to encourage us when we are faced with opposition from friends and family, don't be self-righteous. Let's not be self-righteous. Let's not be holier than thou. But let's maintain our integrity with God in realizing the resistance we get, that's part of the suffering that Christ went through. And Christ was crucified. It's no wonder the Scripture said He was a man of grief. He was acquainted with sorrow. But do you realize now, to maintain and to attain those victories in Christ, it's going to come through some suffering for us this morning. It's going to come at a price. In Hebrews, in the 5th chapter, Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 8, it says, for Jesus had given them, chapter 5, though He were a son, now this is speaking about our example again, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Do we think that we're any better than that? Lord, just get me out of the suffering. But it said that Christ Himself learned obedience through the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. He was made perfect or made complete in fulfilling God's plan through suffering. It does not mean that Jesus had major needs in His life, but it means through suffering, He demonstrated His obedience and devotion to God, not just when things are going good. Do you realize if everything's going well for us and you got money in the bank and everybody's treating you good, the job's going good, your home's happy and everything's blissful, do you realize, and you're in good health, do you recognize that that's not as much of a testimony of your obedience and submission to God as it is when you're faced with some suffering? When you have suffering in your life is when you can demonstrate through devotion and submission to God, I'm not just going to serve God in the good times, but I'm going to serve Him when it hurts. I'm going to stand fast in my integrity with God when other people are drawing me and pulling me in another direction. I'm going to stay steadfast. That's when your witness and your testimony become stronger, and it's where we're going to find greater victories in our life. He was made perfect. Do you want to be made perfect this morning? I do. Lord, perfect me. I want You to work in my life. So how does that happen? Oftentimes, folks, it's through the difficulties. It's through the hard times of life. And the Lord can use those things to benefit His people in your life, can benefit others around about you. Jesus set an example of obedience. And do you know, Jesus also in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, "Lord, if it be possible, remove this cup from me." Have you ever prayed that way? "Lord, if it's possible, would you remove it?" But folks, too many times we stop right there. In our prayers, when we start to suffer, when we start to have opposition, when we get sick, when we stop, "Lord, if it be possible, remove it." But Jesus now, He's the one we're following, right? He's the example. He learned obedience through suffering. And so Jesus said, "If it's possible, remove this cup from me. But if not, not my will, but thy will be done." So my question again, this is practically where you live and where I live. Have we come to that place in the sufferings that we experience in life of saying, "Lord, not my will. If you want this trial to continue, Lord, I'm going to stay faithful, and I want you to perfect me in this battle." Scripture says, we won't take the time to read it, but it's in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," what does it do? "It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." The sufferings, the difficulties, the trials, the opposition that we go through, they're going to work for us, folks, if we will open up our heart to the Lord and fellowship the suffering and fellowship that. You remember over in Revelation when they had a vision of those that were around the throne of God, and He said, "Who are these?" And the Lord spoke and He said, "Thou knowest." He said, "These are they which have come out of great tribulation and have had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb." Do you know that the saints that are gathered around the throne in heaven this morning or in paradise with God, it is those that have come through tribulation and suffering and kept their integrity with God. And through their suffering, they were perfected in Him. Folks, this is our example this morning. There has been so many examples of those who have fellowshipped the physical sufferings and the opposition that they're faced with. I want to give a couple examples. Ignatius was the minister at Antioch. And this took place in about 108 AD. And he was taken to prison because he was preaching the gospel. And Ignatius was taken in, and at that time is when people were being crucified. They were being thrown to the wild dogs and the lions to be devoured alive because of their faith in God. And Ignatius, when he was in bonds, he wrote a letter to the congregation at Rome, and this is what he said. He said, "Now I begin to be a disciple. Now. I care for nothing of visible or invisible things so that I may but win Christ." Doesn't that sound like Paul? "That I may win Christ, I count all things but loss." He said, "Let fire and the cross..." See, Ignatius didn't know how he was going to die. He said, "Let fire and the cross, let the companies of wild beasts, let breaking of bones and tearing of limbs, let the grinding of the whole body and all the malice of the devil come upon me, be it so, only may I win Christ Jesus." His burden and his desire was to fellowship the suffering of Christ. If I have to suffer the loss of my physical body, that I can win Christ, he was saying, "I'm willing to do it." His sentence was passed down, and he was sentenced to be thrown to the wild beast. He heard the lions roar, and this is his response before he was thrown to the animals. He said, "I am the wheat of Christ. I am going to be ground with the teeth of wild beasts that I may be found pure bread." We're not being thrown to wild animals. But do you know we're going to face some opposition from family sometimes and friends and those that we fellowship with sometimes? And on the job and in the world, there's going to be some opposition because of our walk with God. And the Lord's saying, would you follow my example? Would you embrace my suffering and be willing to stand true with the right attitude? There's another man. His name was Nicomachus. And this was in 249 A.D. And it was under the persecution of Decius. And he was brought to the, because of his faith in God now, because of his walk with the Lord, he was called and they told him to recant. They told him to offer sacrifices to the pagan idols, and he wouldn't do it. And he said, I cannot pay that respect to devils, which is only due to the Almighty. We are under pressure today to, rather than embrace the sufferings of Christ, to embrace the things of the world. Just don't make waves. You can still be saved, but just go the path of least resistance. But folks, when we follow the Lord, there's going to be some resistance. We're going to have to make a stand and say, I'm not going to go that way, but by the grace of God, I'm going to stand true. And so Nicomachus was put on the rack. You know what the rack was? I've seen some of them in some museums of torture, what they used to use, but there were different kinds of racks. But one of them, they would actually tie their hands with ropes, and they would tie their legs, and they would have them on cranks and on pulleys, and they would just start stretching until they were like this. And they would say, they were telling him, giving him opportunity, recant your faith in God. I won't do it. And they just crank a little bit more. And I want us to understand what happened until the pressure becomes so great it would actually tear the body apart. So he was on the rack and they said, recant. And he recanted. This was Nicomachus. He recanted. And he got off. They took him off the rack and he thought that I'll be able to live now because I recanted. And he fell over dead. Folks, how far are we willing to go with the Lord this morning? We're not facing the rack in this age, and we're not going to have time to address it this morning. But I believe the persecution and the sufferings are more subtle, but I believe they're just as strong or stronger than they were by being faced with physical persecution. But there was a 16-year-old girl that was there observing this, and her name was Denisha. Or Denisa, and I want to be more like Denisa. She was a 16-year-old girl, and she saw this man deny Christ because he was being put to death. And she saw it, she said, this is what she said. She said, oh, unhappy wretch, why would you buy a moment's ease at the expense of miserable eternity? How far are you willing to go? When the people you work with, and the people sometimes that you go to church with, unfortunately, and your family members, how far are you willing to go? How much are you going to be able to take before you say, just whatever, I'm just going to go the path of least resistance? Or are you willing to fellowship the suffering of Christ and be denied by your friends and take the path of the cross? And so Denisha, she said, why would you just, for a few minutes ease, trade that at the expense of a miserable eternity? Folks, let's fellowship the sufferings of Christ. That is the road, the avenue that will perfect us to enable us to get to heaven. And so Denisha was taken in bonds. They were right there, and she expressed that publicly. And they took Denisha, and she was sentenced, and shortly thereafter she was beheaded. Do you know where she went for eternity? She went to be with the Lord. A 16-year-old girl was not willing to recant. She wanted to stay faithful to the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, it said, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, that's a conditional statement. If you take logic in school, if you've taken some logic, that's a conditional statement. If. if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. Are we willing then to fellowship His suffering this morning? If we I want to reign. We sing the song and we get inspired by the song. We sing reigning in this life. If you want to reign in this life, it's going to come at a cost. If you want to reign, if you want to have victory over sin, it's going to be at a place of denial of self, a denial of the flesh. So, how much then are we willing to suffer for the cause of Christ? How far are we willing to go? Will we follow Him only in convenience or when we feel like it? Or will we follow Him all the way this morning? I want to encourage us to embrace the suffering and reproach of Christ when our family resists, when our friends, when we go out in the world and we feel that temptation and that pressure. And folks, we're going to feel it. And it's not fun. It'll bring some tears sometimes. It'll bring some times of real, I was going to say agony, but that's what it is. When there are people you love and you're wondering, why are you doing this? Why are you putting this kind of pressure? Why are you trying why are you doing what you're doing? But rather than allowing the devil to take advantage of us during those times, if we can begin change our perspective and realize that's what Christ went through too. He showed us the way to handle that by submission, by love, by humility. That's where He found victory. So Lord, then help me to fellowship the sufferings. Welcome the storms that through that suffering, I too, and you also can reign with Christ. Amen.